1 Corinthians chapter 12, continuing on in spiritual gifts, a topic that many people are very interested in, a topic that has been questionable, kind of a mystery in a lot of Christians' lives. And so I don't claim to be super knowledgeable, but the Word of God has lots to say. And so we're going to just kind of dive into what God says about the spiritual gifts that we have been given to profit with all. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're just going to jump right in there. Last week, we have looked at the first three verses for a while. Then last week we looked at verses 4 through 7. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, as we stop right there, last week we looked at the fact that, you know, kind of like, you know how the body of Christ symbolized through the physical body? And so we've looked at this, and we would say the first segment there, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. And of course we see the individual gifts that each person has, kind of like you are a muscle, you know, in the body. You are a body part, and so you are used. The second that is given to us in verse 5, there are differences of administrations. These administrations are ministries, services, and so there can be a person that has a certain gift, and there's certain thing that God has given to him, the Holy Spirit has given to serve, but that can be utilized in a variety of services. There's different ways you can minister that gift, different ages, different size groups of people, different topics that you would be used, you know, if it's teaching or something. So different ways, different ministries that you could be used. And so we have the body part, then we had likened that to maybe the system. The system that you have, we have different body systems that we have, and then lastly, that is how we use that, and so we get to verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, and of course, there are diversity. There's a bunch of different ways in which those are energized and powered. Of course, we know that the energy comes from the Holy Spirit, and so we are trusting in God what he gives us to be used. We're going to look at that this morning. Now, join me in verse 8. I didn't give a lot of background because I end up giving too much background and don't have enough time to move forward. So we're going to move forward. Now, we're going to look at verses 8 to 11 tonight, and we are going to, I'm just going to simply read over the first couple verses, and then we're going to focus on verse 11. And the reason is because we're going to come back later and hit what some of these gifts are, okay? So we're going to hit some of the gifts and what they mean, and we're going to look at some other places and compare some of the gifts. But let's just look through, starting at verse 8. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so those are those verses. Now we get to verse 11. But all these work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Like I said, we're going to come back and look at some of these, some of the gifts and the divisions of gifts. Okay? A lot of people have a lot of different thoughts and about the gifts. And of course, we have some people, we understand that there were some sign gifts to authenticate the gospel and to see the power of God in people's lives back in the church age. And then there would be many that believe that those gifts then ceased to be. And then there would be other gifts that continued on that we can actually use today, and spiritual gifts that we use. And so anyway, we'll get into the thick of some of those later. We're not going to hash those out right now, but I think more importantly we need to get to, rather than just what those are, verse 11. So we look at all of the gifts that God has given to us, and we see, but all these work at that one, the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, so we'll look at the individual gifts later. So to each person, I say in the church, and when I say just in the church, the saved people. Remember, when does the church get their spiritual gifts? At what time? I'll let you go ahead and respond. When is that?
Salvation.
Okay, when your person gets saved, there are some benefits, I guess, what you would call it. And one of those benefits is the Holy Spirit gifts you, or gives you, by grace, gives you abilities for what purpose? What did we look at? It was the last phrase we looked at. Does the Holy Spirit give us gifts so that we can demonstrate the worth and the value that each one of us has to the rest of the church? No. Okay. Why does God give us? Why does the Holy Spirit give us gifts? What's the purpose? To edify and build up the church. Okay. So think about it this way. God has gifted you. God gave you something. God gave you something that you can do. I like to refer to them as motivations in your service. God has gifted you. He's motivated you in certain ways to do things and minister so that the body can be profited, so that you can build up. That is the purpose and why we have these gifts, so that the body is strengthened and built up and edified. So I'm given gifts not for myself. So many people have a wrong thought on the spiritual gifts, is that, wow, look at that person. They can do this and they can do that, and look at how God uses them to do that. Listen, it's all from God, and we have begun to learn that. In fact, those three verses, 4, 5, and 6, each one of those talked about, and in fact, many times, all of this comes from the Spirit. You didn't do anything to get this. In fact, even our salvation was a gift by God, right? We were given salvation, and then we were given these gifts, and so we don't, the profiting is not for me. I don't get these gifts for myself. You have been given your gift so that you can benefit the people around you, right here, so that you can benefit these people and help them and encourage them and grow them in Christ. Is that an important truth right there? Oh, it is. Somebody tell me, why is that important? Go ahead, don't be afraid. I think you know the answer. Why is it important? Go ahead, Bettina.
Well, we all want to grow in Christ, and we want to encourage a brother and sister. When we see them growing in Christ, that helps us grow.
Well, there's a very positive way to look at it. It's a tool to help people grow. We want to see people grow, right? And God put us in a church. He didn't, He doesn't have us worshiping just on our own. So He put us in a place so that we could grow. Okay, that's a very positive way to look. I was thinking, a negative way. Any other thoughts? Okay, in a spiritual battle, we need each other, and so we need teamwork. That's one of the benefits of things, like Discovery Bible Studies, because we're close, we get to learn what other people are going through on a little bit closer of basis, and we can try to edify and encourage. That's good.
Yeah, share the good news, what you know, to those who don't know, and let them know what you know so they can share with others
Yeah, that's good, Billy. I like that, because that's what if I could put it in one word, that's discipleship.
Yeah.
So it's taking what God has given to us and sharing with other people. That's really good. Okay. I had a different perspective, okay, in what I was thinking. We need the unity, yeah. Because there's diversity. There's diversity and unity, and we're really going to dive into that. There's diversity, but there's very much unity. And so it's that teamwork, right? Okay, that's what we're talking about. If we are a group of people, you take a sports team. If you have a bunch of superheroes on a sports team, does the team really do very well? Not really, because unless they're all good, a lot of times heroes are... They want to be the hero, but that is not the way God has made the church. He's made us so that we work off each other, and it's teamwork. It takes on a football field, it takes 11 guys together. It doesn't just take a quarterback. If a quarterback only has himself, he is, and my favorite statement, he's toast. He's done. He goes nowhere if he doesn't have those linemen. Some of those linemen are the most unglorified positions, that are there. But I tell you what, you take away those linemen and those star quarterbacks, running backs, receivers are not going to get anything. It takes teamwork. But likewise, if you have a group of linemen, you're not going to advance the ball anywhere because they never touch the ball, okay? They can't, and so that's the way it is. It takes teamwork, so I like that. But there's another way to look at this as well. What I was saying is, why is this important for us? Because it keeps us from our heroic efforts of lifting and building up ourselves. Again, it has to do with that teamwork there. But when we recognize that we deserve or we earn, or we're, as we're going to look at here in just a moment, we choose. No. This was given by God. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to ruin my message here if I start talking too much. Let's look at verse 11, okay? And so we're going to divide this verse up a little bit this evening and see what we can come up with. But all these worketh at one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, first of all are called or given gifts by who? Who is the one that gives these gifts? What does it specifically say? We know the answer is God, but who of the Trinity? All right, we got the Holy Spirit. Did you recognize this is like this is many reference times. I think this is about the fifth time this is referenced here that the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives them. Why is that important? Our gifts are decided and delivered by God Himself. This was God who picked this for me. God was the one that gave that to me. It is the very best. It's the very best service for me. God knows you. God knows exactly what you need. He was the one that made you. He knows. He gave you a certain personality. He gave you a certain look. He gave you certain motivations. God is the one that knows us best, and therefore He's the best one to give us the gift so that we can use them for the body of Christ. And so it's the very best service for me, and it's subpar to none. You need to understand that what God gave you and how God made you is not any less than what should be. Does God love each one of us? What's the answer? God loves us, and He loves us dearly. He loves us unconditionally. He loves you. God does not give you anything less. And I know that that's a very simple statement, but if we recognize that God is the one that gives the gifts, go back into what we learned this morning. God is the best. He knows. He's all knowledgeable. He's all wise. He's all powerful. Again, when we live in God's realm, when God is God, like we talked about this morning, then we recognize that what God has given to you to do in ministry, you know, the muscle that He made you, whether it's here or here or here or whatever it is, whatever He's made you, it's the very best, and there's nothing better for you. You see, a lot of people are looking and say, man, you know, that guy was really gifted. I don't have... Listen, understand that if it's a gift of God, what's implied here? I know it doesn't say it, but if it's a gift of God, what do we understand? It is the best. That's important. It's very important so that you understand that, wait a second, God has given me something that I can contribute and benefit. It's not of you, because who gave it? God did. You know how foolish it is to brag and boast about something that was given to us, right? We already learned about that. 1 Corinthians. No. It's not any boast that we have, but God has given to it. And so He's given the very best. It's not under. There's a few applications, but I want you to see. Look at a few phrases that are given. Go jump down to verse 18. Notice, you know, God's attitude. And again, He loves you. He loves you dearly. And so He's given you the very best. There's no doubt in my mind. And sometimes we, personify God. You know, we know that God is Spirit. But of course, there's the side of God that is Jesus Christ and human. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that as God, you know, knew that you were going to be born and you would be saved and what He would give, that God's, if I could say and give a personality to God in this way, that He was very excited to endow you with the gift that He gave you. Because He said, you know, I know this individual here and you know, this is how I'm going to fashion them and make them and the gift that I'm going to give so that Faith Bible Church can benefit. I'm going to give them this. What does it say in verse 18? Notice a phrase there that is used. He says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath what? Pleased Him. He set you in a perfect spot. And what does it do? It pleases Him. You know, he built this church up, and these people come, and these people come, and they join, and they're active, and they're doing things. Do you know that God is well pleased with how he has given you, he's equipped you to minister in this church? We need to understand that. We need to understand, as God has gifted, that this is a thing that God's pleased with. He's excited about it. He's excited about how you're going to get involved. And I wonder what that is, and we will get to that. What is it that God is excited that He's handcrafted you for this ministry? Folks, you got to start thinking this way. God has handcrafted me. He's fashioned me to benefit the people that are sitting right around me tonight. And it pleases Him. So he's looking like this at Faith Bible Church. There it is. You ever done a project and you've gotten everything in order and you've got it and you set that last piece in order and you say, there, look at that. Don't touch it. You hope the wind doesn't come and blow it over. There it is, you know, and there it is. Folks, he looks at the church this way. He loves. Do you know that God loves the church? How do we know that God loves the church? He died. He gave himself for it. And folks, don't underestimate the gifts that he's given you, because not only did he die for the church, but as we learned this morning, he's a well designer. He has designed this church to move forward with him, and you are an integral part of it. Don't let the doctors tell you that there are certain body parts that aren't valuable. Take it out. Okay, I'm not the doctor and I don't know about your body, but I do know that every one of you is valuable in this body. There are no parts that is just take it out. No, we need you. We need what God has given. He has handcrafted and fashioned you, and it pleases him. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Nay, and he's talking, you know, about the feet and the whatever. And in verse 21, then the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, he says, no, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what?
Necessary.
You know, God is pleased. God is pleased to put you there. But here he also says that it's absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Folks, listen to this. You need to understand that you are necessary. Now, this is not building us up. This is grace. We deserve nothing. But God so loves you that he gave. You know, all about God is grace. And he has gifted you with something that is pleasing to him and is absolutely necessary. Why is that important? Because your absence from the body is devastating. It's important. Can you imagine if our bodies were like the body of the church? Never knowing. I mean, okay, I know there's a human element to this, and I know that we will never, ever, is there ever a time when the exact same people come to a church service? Well, maybe in a small congregation like ours, maybe there has been, you know, like, you know, but, you know, Foresters, you run it, you've never been here before, so, you know, there's always going to be something different. Can you imagine if every single day your body was a different, made up of different muscles, different parts? You wouldn't know what to expect, you know, and honestly, that's the way it is. I never know what to expect on a Sunday, who's going to be here. But think just for a moment, when a body part doesn't show up, doesn't work the same, right? Can you imagine if one of your eyes just said, not today? Okay. That's the way the body works. I mean, that's the way this church works. I understand there are times when we can't and we've got things going on. And that's the human element, and God understands that. But what we need to understand is don't let's not mess around with something that say, no, it's not that big of a deal if I show up. God says it's necessary. Necessary. Did you see that word, folks? Necessary. And again, God is not building you up for pride here. You read the passage. There's nothing of pride in this passage. If you take out pride, though, and understand, but very necessary. You are necessary, folks. Is everybody listening? You are necessary for this church. We need you. It pleases him. It's necessary. Look at verse 11, and then we'll go to verse 28. Very, very necessary. Go back to verse 11. I like the word choice. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Do you know what the word severally means? It's like separately, individually. There is a divine plan. Go to verse 28. Verse 28. And God hath, there's that word, and set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and that's not the point. But what I want you to see here is he set it. He has individually set this place up. Every single piece has been strategically and orderly placed in the right spot. Based upon that, is it important then that we understand our gifts? Should we have a mentality about gifts like, oh, I don't understand them, I don't know that I ever will, it's just a kind of a mystery, it's not that big of a deal. Can we say that biblically? There's no way. There's no way. If God took the time to say, listen, I delight in this, I love this. This pleases me to put you where you want to. I mean, this is absolutely necessary that I've made you the way I've made you to do the ministries that I want you to do. I have designed and drafted this plan, and so everything's perfect. Is it important? It is. Folks, it is important that we come to understand, okay, so what has God given to me to do? And then, as I recognize what he's given to me to do, then I do it. So it's important that we understand what God is setting up here so that we can give it. So all are called and given by the Holy Spirit. You know, we look at that by the Holy Spirit. God is in charge and God has strategically placed us where we ought to be. Notice that all are given gifts. Every one of us. But all these, back to verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to how many men? Every man. And of course, we're talking about who's every man. Is that every man on the face of the earth? We're talking about believers here, the body of Christ. God has gifted the body of Christ, and he says everyone. So all are given, all are called, all are given these gifts by the Holy Spirit, okay? These are not a set of gifts given to the elite. You know, some people think that the spiritual gifts are just given to the, you know, people that are really, they've got degrees. They went to college, and then they went to graduate school and the seminary, and then they got their, you know, master's, and then they got their, you know, their doctorate, and they got all this, and those people are the ones that are gifted to minister in the church. It has nothing to do with that. Right here, God set the record straight. And he said to everybody, every believer in the church has been given gifts. Is that important that we understand that? Yeah, it is, because a lot of people think that it's just something by a certain group of people. No, all of us are gifted. All of us are called by the Lord to minister the gift that God has given to us. Now, I want you to think about this. What's so important about that? Do you know that I like this, because if everybody has a gift, that takes away my pride. There's nothing, you know, like, well, I got this, you know, other people don't, but I do. You can't say that, because everybody does. You know, if we were given out awards tonight, you know, and I'd say, all right, Ken Heise, you get the award. You know, Ken comes up here like this. But at the end of the night, I've given it to everybody. At the end, he's like, okay, you know. But folks, I don't want to belittle it. It is a tremendous gift. We all ought to be excited, but it has nothing to do with us. If you get saved, you get one. Isn't that a blessing, though, on the other side? Praise the Lord, because some of us are saying, man, I'm not gifted in any way, but you are because God gave it. Every one of us has something for us to use. And I love that God has given it to every single person. There's no reason for pride. God has given it to us. All are called, all are given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And I like this part because we see that God is the one that He set, He ordained, He gave it to us. It's not something that we, you know, how many of you have been to Shady Maple Smorgasbord? Okay, most of you, okay? Most of you have been there. And what's the big thing about that? The place is huge, and what do you have a lot of? You have a lot of choices, right? And I mean, your belly's only so big. I remember that when I was a lot younger, it seemed like I could eat a whole lot more. Now it's not so exciting. I mean, I still enjoy going, but it's like, wow, but you can only eat so much and you're miserable. So it's like, is this really worth it? But there's choices, right? You go there and it's a smorgasbord of choices. It's like, well, I could have this and I could have this, and I could do this, I could eat breakfast, I could eat this, you know, this is just everything. Whoa, I almost fell off the stage there. We've got all these choices, and we pick and choose what we want. One person goes and gets this, and another person, their plate looks completely different. You know, I still haven't figured out the people that go and get salad, big old plate of salad first. Pastor, who said bacon? Rick said bacon, okay. You know, but everybody's got their choice, right? Spiritual gifts are not a smorgasbord. God has set them. God looks down at you and He says, listen, I want them to have this. And I want this person over here to have this. It's ordained of God. It's not some choice. It's not something we can say, hey, I really would like to be this. No. That's not the way God made it. So when we get to this idea of spiritual gifts and we go through them, we're not approaching it by looking and saying, I like that one right there. Now, this is what I want to be. No, we discover what God has already ordained. God, in His wisdom and knowledge, knows exactly what is very best for you and for, even a better way to say it, best for this body. He knows that Faith Bible Church needs this, and so I'm going to appoint this person to be gifted this way, and other people are going to really benefit by what this person is. And so God has given, He's called, He's ordained these things. As we look at verse 11 there, we see that all are called and given gifts by the Holy Spirit that worketh. And we looked at that word last week, and that word that's an energizing. He is the one that supplies the energy. In the illustration, then, what are we? If He supplies the energy and He's going to use us to accomplish something, to edify and build up, where's the middle ground there? What's in the middle? If there's a source that is where all the power comes from, and this is what the power is going to do, for instance, I know we're getting away from corded tools these days. I think the guys, you know, that were out there working on the festival were talking about it. You know, we all used to plug in our tools. Now you're old if you plug in your tools. You know, for some reason I still like those plug-in tools just because I haven't experienced some of the newer stuff. But I know they're making batteries out there that are, you know, just as good. But anyway, go back to the old days, you know, the time when you used to plug in a cord. You got a power source, right? And you can take a Sawzall, and you can do a lot of work with a Sawzall or something that you have, a reciprocating saw. But it's not going to be very good unless you plug it into a source. You got to have a source. And we understand that the source of our gifts comes from who? Who is our source? All right, we got God. We got the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us to them in their source. They're powered by God. And we're the tool. We're going to be used, and hopefully we're going to do something, probably not cut. I probably shouldn't have used a reciprocating saw because that's destructive, but it's something that's positive and helping. But we're going to do something to help build and edify the body of Christ. But what's left in the middle there? And that's what we are. And that is the channel, right? The channel. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that worketh. It's not us. It is not our power. We cannot do the gifts that God has called us to do without his power. We are simply channels. So you got to look at this. As we go through it, as we look at the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, we understand it is not even my responsibility. Yes, we need to be able to do it, but we need to look at ourselves as a channel. An extension cord, you know, that cord that was plugged into the power source. You know, that cord really can't do anything, but without that cord, or at least what it used to be, you couldn't do anything. And God uses us to accomplish his work, and so we are simply channels. And the key to us is a yielding spirit. God, I will be willing to be used however you want. And I ask you tonight, would you be willing to be used however God wants you to be used in this church? Why? Because we're a channel. God is going to supply the power. He is going to give the power so that the work can be done, but we need to be willing to be used in that way. Now, we took a little time to go through verse 11, because it's very important that we understand that. You know, I know you're eager to jump into the different gifts to discover, and we will hopefully, as we prayerfully. By the way, I want you to be praying that God would show you your spiritual gift, but I can assure you, it's probably not going to come just through one of the messages that we preach, and everybody's going to walk out knowing. Let me just give you a clue, and this is not really a part of the message, but I just say this. I want you, first of all, we need to be willing people that want to be used. Do you know that if we're not willing to be used as channels, then we're not going to be used? We have to be willing. We have to be there. We have to be willing to say, okay, roll me out and plug me in. A lot of people come to church and they church just to what they benefit, but we've got to be willing people. Say, listen. I'm willing. And I ask you the question tonight. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to nod or anything like that. How many of you are willing to be used in this church? You say, okay, God's given me a gift. I'm willing to use that gift. I'm willing to be a channel that this church can be edified and built up, that the people here can grow. What a blessing that can be. I will say it again. I said it last week, and I'll say it again, that if 70 people, I don't think there's 70 people here tonight, 60 people, 50 people, whatever it is, if 50 people in a church would be willing to be used of the Lord, be a channel for him to say, hey, I'll be willing, God, whatever gift you give me, I'm willing to use. I believe if we would have a majority of people that would be willing to use, God would do some amazing things with this church. The problem is a lot of people aren't willing to. They want to come and benefit. They want to receive. They want to get the work done. They want people to benefit them. They don't want to do anything. We've got to be willing people to be used. A willing church is God's going to use in a great way. And that power source working properly is going to work. We need to be willing, but we also need to be praying. We need to be praying that God would show us what those gifts are. What has God given you? And some of you in this room might know what God has given to you. You know, say, well, I believe that God has given me this. Some of you in this room would say, I still, you know, you might be older. You say, I really don't know what God. So remember, we're not talking about talents. We're not talking about abilities. You know, those are things that any person can have. Any person on the face of the earth can have a talent or ability. We talked about that last week. We're not talking about talents and abilities. We're talking about a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit to benefit and profit the body of Christ. And you might say, you know, Pastor Verdun, I really don't know what God has given to me. And I don't know this for sure. I'm just going to take a guess that most of you don't. Because again, I think that this topic is a neglected topic. People don't cover it because, you know, it's vague and, you know, we don't know. And a lot of damage has been done in the ministry on this topic. So I would guess that most people, a lot of people probably don't. A lot of people, when you survey and ask them what they think that their gift is, they will mention a lot of talents and abilities. I've experienced that. They just believe it's, you know, I can sing in the choir. I can sing in the choir is not a gift of the Spirit, okay? Singing in the choir might be a talent. It might not be a talent, okay? But it's a gift to the Spirit that God helps you to profit, spiritually edify and build up the body of Christ. Again, I like to refer to it as a motivation. How God has motivated you to serve. And he has fashioned you and made you perfectly. He's designed you for this ministry. And so what we need to do is we need to be willing, but we need to be praying. We need to say, God, would you show me? Would you, through this process, show me? And here's a third key. Listen to this. Most likely, God is going to show you through getting involved in ministry. A ship that's not moving is very difficult to turn and direct. Doesn't that make sense? You can move that rudder all you want to, and if the ship's sitting there, if the boat's sitting there, is it going to do anything? No. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Get involved. You say, Pastor, I don't know what gift God has given to me. I would say, get moving, get in ministry, and start doing things, and God is going to make it. God is going to begin to make things clear for you. And he's going to help you. He's going to show you. We will talk much more about that because I know many of you want to get into it. But again, very much the foundation, the basis. We need to understand where it comes from and how we need to approach this. And so tonight, as we close, I want to remind you, you know, I mean, this verse, you know, is very important. Go back. Let's look at verse 11. But all these worketh the one in the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And we looked at these things tonight, and we just need to understand that this is ultimately all up to God, all God's, for this body, for his honor and for his glory. It's nothing that it's no work of ours, but God has uniquely and beautifully designed you to help. Isn't that wonderful? If we can keep pride out of it, and that's where a lot of error comes in. Is we get very proud. But if we get proud, what are we missing? We're missing what we're just learning here. This is not us. It's all the Lord. And so, again, I'm going to encourage you to be willing, be praying, and then be serving. And as we go through this, it's going to take a while, but as we go through this and learn the different things and see what it is, what it is not, and we study the different motivations, I'm excited to do that with you. I think some lights will turn on as we look at the different ways we can be motivated as we do this, and God's going to show himself strong and start to show you where you're fit into the body of Christ. And as you get plugged into that area and you start doing that and it excites you, I want to tell you something. It's exciting to serve the Lord when you're in the right spot. It really is. It's exciting to serve the Lord when you're in the right spot. And you get plugged in that way, and I tell you what, God's going to use the body to do his work. Father, I thank you so much for this, just as we take another baby step forward, as we look at some essentials. And I thank you for your word, and Lord, we can trust your word, you know, even with a topic that we think is vague, and we don't know, it's a mystery, nobody knows about this. And God, I pray that you would just help us as we try to go through it, that we would understand a little bit more and about how you have blessed us. Lord, thank you for the grace that you have bestowed upon us. God, thank you for being willing to use us, feeble, wicked, frail people. Lord, that you delight in us. We're necessary, a part, and just a planned thing that you've given. Lord, what a blessing. God, I pray that you'd use these folks. Use us all for your honor, for your glory, that we can see the body strengthened so that we can go out into our community, into then, you know, to the uttermost, and to make a difference in the world, so that people can trust you and be a part of your family. And we look forward to living with you eternally. So God, thank you. May you use us in Jesus' name. Amen. 400.